Mold of service. That's a mold that puts us in shape to serve the living God. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians. The book of Philippians, chapter 3. The word mold is translated usually as example or in sample, a method to go by. But the word in the Greek is T-U-P-O-S, to pose. Okay? And the etymology is beautiful. It comes from striking, but not to strike in anger, but to strike as the king's signet would strike to make a die or a mold that documents that it's his mark. Okay? It is a mold whereby we fit in it. When the example is set forth, you're supposed to comply and fit that mold, because that mold then brings you out as all Christian, speaking in a spiritual sense. So it's kind of an exciting word. You know, I like it especially because the prime root is to thump, okay? And the Lord, sometimes that comes first to being the prime, and sometimes God has to thump our gourd just a little bit to make us fit the mold, okay? So having said that, that means the subject we're going for here, and chapter 3, let's pick it up with verse 13, if we may, word of wisdom from our Father, and it reads, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended," that means to overcome or captured everything yet, "but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before." Yeah, this is something that fits the mold of a Christian you've got to be careful of. I don't know why it is, but people always like to reach behind. You always like to, well, if that hadn't happened to me. Well, it did, so get over it. Okay, that's the way the cookie crumbles, all right? But don't look back. If you do, you'll spend a lifetime maybe even being a poor me baby. And you don't need that. You don't have time for that. So just know and understand that you don't look back, you look forward. What a beautiful time to live. And what a beautiful Father we have to serve. Verse 14, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I want to serve Him. And that's what I press forward to, is to be of that service and to work at it. It takes a little work, okay? Takes a little striving, and that's good. That's good. Verse 15, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect," translate the word perfect, mature, because you're never going to be perfect. It means mature. It means to have a sincere mind, that you're really serious about this, not playing games. "Be thus minded." You let your mind run this way. "And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." What it's saying here is, don't argue about little minor things, you know, that don't amount to a hill of beans. You know, the Antichrist is coming. Now, that's something worth discussing or bringing up maybe an argument over, okay? That is to say, a strong reasoning. But little bitty minor stuff that doesn't amount to a hill of beans, let it pass. Pray to the Father that He'll give you the correct showing, or usually you're going to pray that the other person wise up, okay? That's the way that old cookie crumbles, okay? So always have that bear in mind. "Let us therefore, as many..." Oh, we got that. 16. "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us mind the same thing." Let's live up to it. Don't just talk about it. I want to see you walk in it. I want to see you talk in it. Now, I want you to be in that mold, in that family. "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark," you make note, "them which walk so as you have us for an example." There is your word, to pass, which means T-U-P-O-S, to post in the Greek. It means a mold. Use us as a mold that you can fit into. Follow us. Think as we teach. Act as we act. And certainly you won't go wrong. Let it be the die. Do you know what a die is? That's what a machinist makes to form a bunch of parts just exactly the same. Okay? Only Christians will never have to worry about being exactly the same. Okay? But we do love the same Lord, and that's what's important. Okay? But that's our word in sample, is topos in the Greek, which means to strike that mold. To strike with force enough that it leaves the imprint upon our lives, and that we as clay fit that mold whereby we come according to God's plan, that we love Him, we don't look back, we don't whimper, we don't complain, we plan ahead. Verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, I've got tears in my eyes as I tell you, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. If anyone worships another Christ or another Christianity, that's bad. Well, give us an example. Okay, I'll give you one real quick. People that would tell you, you don't have to understand God's book of Revelation, okay? Just listen to them. They'll show you through. And they'll even go as far as to say, it's not meant for you to understand Revelation. They show their ignorance that the word revelation in any language you want to translate it in means to reveal or uncover. How ignorant can people be? Don't follow ignorance at this time. Well, how do I know? God's Word. It's very simple. Follow the teachings of your Heavenly Father. Verse 19, whose end, those that walk according to that sort of tripe, whose end is destruction, the word is perdition, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Their mold is the earth and the things of it, money, begging, false witness, one-verse reverence that lead astray instead of teaching the Word of God where the emotions, the love, and the feelings of Almighty God come forth, whereby it leads you, comforts you, and makes you a stable person, not a reed shaken in the wind, solid on the ground. For our conversation, verse 20, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where did you come from? You came from the Lord. Where is He? He's in heaven. Okay. So you're kind of a stranger here, aren't you? Okay. But you're not going to be always. You know why? Because heaven is wherever God is, and He's coming here. And you know what He's going to do? Listen carefully. The next verse, verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, these flesh bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body? According, what now? According to the working whereby He is able, that's to say the energy, is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. He's captain. Now, I can't let that word fashion go by either without saying a little something about it. It's really two Greek words, and it's soon morphos, which soon in the Greek means union, to bring together. To be together. And morphless is like you morph something, okay? That He makes us like Him. That's where our word morph comes from. That He fashions us as Himself. That is to say, in the same spiritual body. That's not to say we're going to look like Him. No, not in appearance, but in body. To shape from these flesh bodies that are capable of catching the flu, of pneumonia, of whatever, okay, of sinning, is going to rise above that, okay, and be changed into that beautiful spiritual body which is your real self. What a wonderful time that's going to be. But what did He say then? He set a mold. I mean, He gave the example. All you have to do is fit into it, to follow it, to relish it, to hang on to it. Well, I just like to look back on hard times. Well, you poor, miserable soul. If that be your attitude, you know. Well, you don't understand, brother, how tough it was. Hey, I've been where it's hell. Okay, so don't tell me, this old Marine combat sergeant, what hell is like. I know. Okay. Been there, done that. And not too many really know what hard times are. They just like to whimper. Don't do it. Fit the mold. Let the little stuff fall by the wayside. Stop looking back and look ahead at what a beautiful world we live in. It is fantastic. And our Father loves us. He's coming here. You caught that in that last verse. And after that, heaven is set up right here on earth. Let's go to 2 Peter, if we may. Second Peter, I want to go to chapter 2. There are many warnings given in our Father's Word about false teaching. And you live in a generation that you've got to be real careful of it. That makes some people uneasy, but it shouldn't. You can read for yourself. And Father sent you this letter that a child can understand. So you want to read it with understanding and heed the warnings and follow his advice. Fit the mold. Don't look back. Keep looking ahead and planning for that wonderful time and place that's coming. Chapter 2, 2 Peter, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. That's right at the end. Who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Well, how is it that they're going to put themselves against the Lord that brought them, denying Him? Because they love the Antichrist, because they love the false Messiah. They're ignorant of God's Word because of false teachings. They think they're doing right. But can you imagine somebody that's churched themselves all their life and listened to one verse reverence and ended up being deceived and realized on the last day, as they've been taught against Satan, that they're in bed with him? You know, and Christ is expecting a virgin bride and you're tough out of luck, okay? You all understand tough out of luck, okay? You would be. Verse 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, evil ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You try to teach the truth to that group and they'll laugh at you. Okay, that's fine. Don't even worry about it. Don't look back and don't cast your pearls before swine. I'm going to say that again. Do not cast your pearls before swine. And through covetousness shall they with feign, that's formed, fashioned words, not God's words, words they made up, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And it doesn't. God pays attention. God knows what goes on this earth. He keeps score. You know what that score is called? The Book of Life. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, that's the fallen angels, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. This word hell is one of the only places that Tartarus is used. It's the holding place of fallen angels. No one else goes there. 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. What God is saying here, if you don't think I can bring in destruction, look back. Noah was a preacher, and he preached, stay away from false teachings. Enoch also was a preacher. If you don't believe it, read the book of Jude. It tells you he was a preacher, prophet. He was warning the same thing. Do not mix. Don't create hybrids. But people continue to hang on to it. until all were polluted except one family that he found perfect generations. He, his sons, his wife, and his boys and their wives. There were other souls. These are Adamic souls we're talking about here. Eth Ha'adam. Verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample. You know what that word is? To pulse. A mold. Making sodomy and Gomorrah a mold. A mold for what? A mold unto those that after should live ungodly. So, what does God do to people like that? He burned them. He destroyed them. And that's what that particular mold is for. That's one you do not want to follow. That's one you do not want to fit into. And how rampant it is in this nation at this time that you see a little old lady carrying a cross. And you see a group of males that overtower her and act like beasts because they are. That's what you're living in, and that's the mold they fit. God keeps score. Don't worry. God keeps score. Verse 7, and delivered just Yot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. He hated to hear it, just as you hate to hear it today. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. It upset him, and he prayed to the Father. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of the temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. God knows how to do it. When you do what is right, when you fit the mold of righteousness, as nearly as you can, God knows how to protect you. God knows how to lead you. And he knows also how to bring hell on earth down on those that would go the other way and fit the mold of sodomy. Let her rip. Okay. God's keeping score, and you can count on it. Two pots. If the mold fits, crawl in it. Okay. That's what he's saying. But certainly, you know what happens to one that fits that mold. It's to perish. It's destruction. How ample it is that we would learn in 2 Peter chapter 2, that as it reads in that verse 1, that in the end times, false teachers will be here. And do you know what the false teachers say? It's all right. Let's make a bishop out of one of them. It's fine. Yeah. It's wonderful. That tune will change. The mold will crack. And the pieces will shatter. And they will fall. That's why you want to be very careful in this generation. We're not living in a generation where you can play church. You're living the actual events of the end times. And it's important that you fit the mold that God has provided for us of common sense and Christianity being the reality of life, that you don't involve yourself in these things of the world, but keep in mind our Heavenly Father. Okay, let's go to 1 Peter, if we may now. Chapter 5. That means you'll only have to turn a page or so back. 1 Peter always comes before 2 Peter, all right? I'm jesting a little bit, but you know, really, some people need a lot of help in this world today. You all don't. But there are people in this world that absolutely are afraid of the Word of God. As simple as it comes forth. Chapter 5, verse 1. It's 1 Peter. The elders which are among you, I exhort. I'm really going to tell you something. Who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. I want to share something with you, and I want to exhort, that is to say, to preached to you just a little bit as to how you should react, especially in these end times. Verse 2, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, I mean, don't force it, but willingly, not by filthy lucre, don't do it for money, but of a ready mind, a mind that is able to adapt and fit the mold. The mold what? Set forth, whereby you can apply yourself. Do you know something? When you're working with the soul, what you know is not important, except that you have the knowledge to help convert the soul. But don't try to dunk forcefully on him how much you don't understand. Brother, I've been studying the Bible 50 years. What do you think of that? Now, that would be the wrong attitude. You've got to act like it's your first day, like his. You go where he is and bring him up to you, okay? Because you're a servant of God. It isn't important how important you are. It's important that you know the Word of God and that you can feed the sheep. And more so than the sheep, that you can feed the little bitty lambs, okay? That they can see in you Christ's Spirit. That they reach out and they want you to lead because you have the Word of God, okay? Verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, they belong to him, but being in samples to the flock. There's your word, in samples. That's a mold. Being a mold yourself to the flock, that means that you are struck, just like the king's signet. This is the true word of God, and when you stamp it, you stand behind it. But you do your homework whereby you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're correct. Or you might be misleading somebody. It's wonderful that judgment starts at the pulpit. Okay. Did you hear what I said? It's wonderful that judgment starts at the pulpit. That's why you want to double your homework. You want to do it right. You want to know that you know what you're doing. Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That's your reward. Our Father keeps score. It's in the book of life. No big deal. Everything you do in relationship with our Father or turning against him is written in that book of life. And guess what? That's what you're judged by, whether it's the pulpit or a layperson. You're judged out of the book of life. Okay, and let's go, if we may, to 2 Thessalonians. We're going to pick up here in a moment in chapter 3. But I must call it to your memory what is in chapter 2. You all probably can quote it by heart. We quoted it in the last teaching. It's where Paul would say, I want to talk to you about our gathering back to Jesus Christ and Christ gathering back to us. Just how it's going to be. And he said, let no man, not this letter or any other letter, deceive you, that Christ shall not appear until after the son of perdition, which is Satan, appears in the holy place claiming to be Christ, okay, claiming to be God. That's exactly how it's going down. It didn't say maybe. It didn't say perhaps in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that the son of perdition. Well, how do I know it's the son of perdition? Well, you wouldn't be much of a Bible scholar if you didn't, okay, because you wouldn't know what the word perdition meant. It means to perish. And there's only one entity by name that has already been judged to perish. That's Satan. Okay. And Satan, you want to know where it's at? Ezekiel 28, verses 18 and 19. King of Tyrus, that's rock in the Hebrew tongue. Satan's not your rock. But he's going to be turned to ashes from within. And do you know something? You're going to see it. Well, how do you know we're going to see it? Because I know the acrostic of Psalms 37. It guarantees it. Okay. So there we have it, that he said, because, if you remember in that second chapter, if people want to be deceived, I'm going to do them a favor. I'm going to give them something that will really mess them up, that will really deceive them. I'm going to send it to them. If they want to believe a lie, I'm going to help them out. That's God speaking. God doesn't like it when people turn away from the simple letter he's written to them or try to get on a one-tangent query, okay, instead of the overall word. Like, well, I get hung up on this one thing. You want to go to hell over one little thing that might be bothering you that doesn't bother other people? I'm not saying that you should ever give up that God puts upon you. Okay, but don't try to force it on others. Let the word flow. So anyway, he says, I'll send that, but I will give you a blessing. And as a matter of fact, God, even if you remember, the title of that was kind of based on energize. God even said, I worketh. That's the word worketh in the Greek is energy, energeo. And it means energy. He said, I'm going to energize the false teaching that if you want to hear it, so that it really works for you, and you go right down. Thank God we have the millennium. That straightens a lot of this out. So having said that, we're going to pick up after that's over in chapter 3, where he gives a very solemn lecture that we should absorb. Chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course, that it spreads, that the truth really spreads about the false Christ standing in Jerusalem, and be glorified, even as it is with you. Verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. I mean, that's pretty obvious when you look around you today. Okay. Verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you. He's going to do what? You know what establish means? That's a foundation, a rock. Okay. And keep you from evil. When you work at it, he's going to make you strong to fight against Satan's darts. Okay, that's what you put the gospel armor on and in place of, okay? Is to stand against the fiery darts of Satan. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we commanded you, that you're going to align with it, you're going to fit the mold, you're going to be there. And the Lord direct your hearts, that's to say your minds, into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Don't jump the gun. The subject in the prior chapter was many will fall off to the Antichrist first. And you know, most children can count. When does the false Messiah, which trump does the false Messiah appear in? The sixth. Sixth seal, sixth trump, sixth vial, six, six, six. Isn't that difficult? And when does Christ return? The seventh trump. Meaning, he's coming first, the false one, so don't jump the gun. Well, it's a little frightening to think that I'm going to stand against Satan. You're not. The Holy Spirit is speaking through you. You don't have to say a word, as it's written in Mark 13, and he will guide you. So don't jump the gun. Wait for the seventh trump. Do the work that God gives you through the unction of the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the traditions which he received of us. If they don't fit the mold, you don't want to walk with them. That doesn't mean you shun them. That's what you're here for. Is to plant seeds, but don't shun them. Okay. But at the same time, don't walk with them. Don't even necessarily sup with them. Okay. Verse 7, for yourselves know how you ought to follow us. You know how to imitate. You know how the mold is, and you're supposed to fit. For we behaved ourselves disorderly. We behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. And they didn't. There wasn't a whole bunch of loafing. They worked. They taught the word. Got right down to business. No playing around. No socializing. But when it was time to teach, they taught. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Verse 9, not because we have not power, we did, we had the right, but to make ourselves an ensample, a mold, got it? To pass in the Greek, a mold, unto you to follow us, so that you would fit. So that you, if you want to be successful, that's it. Okay. You have to fit the mold. Verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any man would not work, neither should he eat. And now this has nothing to do with handicapped people. Handicapped people, we feed. Okay. And it's our obligation to feed. That is to say, our nation, our people, and so forth. But a lazy person, well, I'm just 45 and my mama's asking me to move out of the house. Whoa. I guess I'm going to have to find a job. How unusual that'll be. How quaint. Yeah. Father doesn't appreciate that. That's called a sluggard. God doesn't like sluggards. And, of course, poor mama. Mama, I'm cold and I'm hungry. Go to work, boy. You know? Then you can buy you a blanket. You know? Then you can buy you a hamburger or better food yet. You know? And that's what God wants you to do, but mama can't do it. Poor mama. She's on a fixed income, but she's going to scrape out the chips and keep that rascal going. Okay, don't do it. Okay. You're an enabler when you do that. Okay. Let him play the part of a man. Be a man. Kick him out. Okay. Saw his old end of the table off until he can work. Okay. And see, and many people say, well, he'll starve. Uh-uh. I know you've heard me say it before. Between this belly button and your back gum bone, God put a little micro switch. And when they get too close together with hunger, the brain says, work, work, work. Yeah. And one goes to work because they're hungry. Okay, and that makes a nice worker out of everybody when they're hungry. Right? They do a good job as best they can. So, and so it is, that's the mold. And so it is. You know, we have to help people as best we can. Okay, and set that example. And so it is. Verse 11. For we hear that there are such some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. They're not only lazy, but they're gossipers, okay? They got time to make trouble. Well, that's why you need to get them to work so they can't make so much trouble, okay? Now, them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. That's what they make and enjoy. You know, when you make something yourself, it just tastes better, okay? By that I mean, it, what you earn, it just feels good, you know. And it's mine. I work for it. It's mine, and so be it. It just feels good all over, okay? But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in doing what's right. And there's a lot of people you can look at the other side and say, well, why should I strive when they're doing that? Well, you should, because you fit the mold. Okay. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed of himself, of course. Now listen carefully. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. That just simply giving a cold shoulder is a warning, and that's good enough. That'll do it. You don't have to open your mouth. You know, mouths kind of get a habit of going yakety, 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 you know. But feelings, Christian people can sense. They're very intelligent. And they know when they're being put down a little bit, and they should. Okay? They want to rise above it. Give them a chance. Love the family. And you know something? If you miss what Paul said back in that prior chapter, he said, I want to talk to the elders. Elders are people that know better. Elders are people that know, but by the grace of God, there go I. You know, somebody unlearned, unprivileged, and you're gentle with them. Okay. You don't try to lord it over them. You're patient, and you try to bring them up. Okay. That's real Christianity, and that's what the mold is about. You don't try to lord it over somebody. That's why the warning is simply a coolness that lets them know. Okay. And you have the right to do that. Verse 16, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. And he is if you let him. Okay. If you seek him. The salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token of every epistle, so I write. And he wrote in big letters because he couldn't see real good. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So, when that seventh trump sounds, and when Christ returns, instantly we are removed from these vile bodies. They're God's creation, so we don't kick them all that much. I mean, he did a pretty good job. He gave us fingerprints that we can pick stuff up and so forth, a little traction there, and he gave us a brain that's better than any computer if you'll use it. But a brain is like everything else. You've got to exercise it to keep in shape, you know. Or it gets a little forgetful, and there are illnesses that can cause that too. But mainly, if you exercise it in his word, your memory will improve, okay? It will improve. And if God gives you a gift, then it makes it all the easier to remember yet, okay? So exercise, practice. God's word. It's such a blessing. When he set the mold out, he did everything but just put us in it. Okay. He shows us how to get to that mold, how to form it. And then, of course, he uses many parables. The potter. You can see our Heavenly Father at that wheel spinning in that mold. He molds with his hands and shapes. And if the Father, as it's written in Romans chapter 9, if he wishes to make a flower vase out of the same pottery or a chamber pot, okay, same lump, he'll do it. But you don't question him. He has a plan. And if you fit the mold, you can understand that plan by being patient and studying the Word of God. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the privilege of serving you. Thank you, Father, for the mold. The mold that helps us to serve, Father, to be a fit servant. In fitting that mold, Father, it shapes our lives. It shapes our personalities. It shapes our spirit, even, Father, as our spirit is attuned to you. We thank you for that privilege of serving you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This is a